Yeah, MailChimp. Let's just use them because that's the one everyone knows, I think. Right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about a couple different options.
They're
but...
kind of like from our calendaring episode. They're the Calendly. They're the Cadillac of email marketing.
They're the first mover, right?
What did they sell for to Intuit recently? Like many billions.
Billions.
And it was funny because I think you told me this. Their founders were very renowned for being bootstrapped and never going to sell.
Yeah, it was
and,
a point of pride.
And then Intuit came over with a couple bill. And I mean,
yeah.
All those pins of those Ferraris and nice houses that you had in your app become reality. So.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another great episode of Mortgage Tech Talks. Today we are going to be talking about, actually it's going to be a surprise. Keep everyone guessing for probably another 30 seconds before we announce it, but it's an exciting topic today. I'm really looking forward to it. With me as always, Massimo. Massimo, you're looking good, man. You're looking jacked these days. Are you hitting the gym?
Wow, okay. I didn't expect that, but yes, for what it's worth, I have been.
Are you hitting the bench?
Doing a bit of everything. Actually, if anyone's curious, I've had spouts of gym goingness in my past. Tom's known me for 10 years. I haven't been the most fit guy for most of it. But I ran into some clients in the last couple of years that motivated me. One of them was Trevor. I'm going to reach out to him at some point.
Trevor at Ziva, right?
Yeah.
He's
a beast for 55 or whatever he is. And also I downloaded an app, no ad, called Fitbod, which honestly I've had for over a year. I think I've shown you it.
But yeah, you're telling me about it, yeah.
Like I'm not great at like setting my own workout and being like, I should do more push or I should superset this or whatever. This app does it all for you.
Is it free?
Well, yeah, for 20 workouts or something. Yeah. I bought a lifetime membership. They had this thing at Black Friday. So anyways, long story short, I appreciate that. I have been and I'm honestly feeling better. A little sore, but that's normal when you work out. But sleeping better, feeling better. So
it makes a difference.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, you're the goatee guy now. That's new for our listeners that are watching on YouTube.
Not many people like it still.
It's the dad beard, right? I don't know if we've said you're going to be a dad yet.
Yeah, I think we have.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
2 week countdown now, man. Less than
holy moly.
2 days to the 23rd, so 10 days. By the time this episode drops, which I think is on the 22nd,
wow.
Yeah, I could be a dad. So, yeah, I'll be good. I think so. Everyone I talked to said nothing really changes. So,
okay, you're being sarcastic. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can't speak from experience, but I'm sure at the very least you will be a bit tired for the first little bit.
Yeah, you'll be a bit tired. I went with my cousin. She just had a kid and really cute. And they had a great attitude about it. They're like, yeah, you know, we got to wake up at 3 a.m. or whatever, but just give the bottle and go back to sleep. I think like a lot of things, and I don't know if we've talked about it on this pod, but I'm a big believer. It's just like your attitude determines everything.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of new parents, it's almost like a point of pride for them to be like, oh yeah, no, we're up late. We're getting no sleep. Ha ha. Look how tired I am. And it's like, I don't want to be that way. I want to be, okay, well, yeah, sleep schedules are a bit off, but hey, we're dealing with it. We're living our life, so we'll see.
It's kind of like that saying, like, you are what you eat. It's also kind of like you are what you feel or you are what you say. Yeah. Like, your energy defines a lot. So
totally.
Yeah, no, I think we've seen some people that show up with raspy hair and torn up clothing and trying to portray the
embrace grind. It. Yeah, the grind of, puke on their shirt from 3 days ago, whatever. So.
Well, maybe we'll have her on the new episode after this one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's worth it.
Well, I told Erica that she's going to start working at Blue Mortgage. As soon as she can start taking calls, she's going to be debugging integrations or whatever. So anyways, we digress. So yeah, I kept you guys waiting. It's been, I said 30 seconds, but we kind of rambled for about 3 minutes there. So everyone's just probably right on the edge of their seat now. But what we're going to talk about is something, you know, we get a lot of, it's one of the top tools we hear people using and wanting to use. And we do think it's a great tool to use. And what it is simply your email marketing. Right? So staying in touch with clients. I would guess of the mortgage brokers we talk to, out of 195 want to do it, one or two newsletters, and 15 actually do it, maybe. I don't know if that's being generous, right? So it's one of those things that, you know, I think we don't have to go on and on about the merits of it because I think it speaks for itself. Just touching people, staying top of mind, those types of things. But for whatever reason, you know, it's just enough friction, I think, there. It's tough for people. And so we'll talk a little bit about, hey, if you're in that 95 minus 50, so that 80 who want to do it but haven't done it yet, you know, where do you start? What are the things to kind of evaluate? And a lot of it centers around friction, right? How do we minimize friction to kind of get a good routine going, right? I mean, do you think those numbers are off, that 95, 15? I just pulled that out of my hat, but What do you think?
No, if anything, it would be lower, maybe, in terms of the brokers that do it. But no, I think you're pretty on the ball. And I mean, there's so many tools out there now, and we'll talk about some that are pretty plug and play. So there's almost becoming no excuse. And anyways, you're not off.
All right. Well, yeah, I guess diving right into it, we've seen it all. We've seen pretty intense ones. Some people doing really intense campaigns, and we've seen the simplest ones. And so I think we want to run the gambit of, okay, what are all the options out there? But before we get into it, I guess, you know, what should people really be thinking about? Let's start with what we were just talking about, which is friction, right? So, well, really, when a newsletter, what is it? Okay, it's I load up a bunch of my clients, their emails, and then I write a script and I send it out, right? And so there's two steps, and each of those that come with their own piece of friction, right? It's about data, getting good data and getting it into whatever system you're going to use to send out the newsletter. And then it's about the content, right? What are you actually going to write? And so let's dive into each of those a little bit. Maybe you start with data, Mass. What would you say in terms of when you're evaluating a tool and you're thinking about data, you know, what should we be thinking about?
In a lot of them that I see, and when you're looking, you should see this too, there should be multiple ways of getting data in.
Right.
The most common multiple ways are adding them manually. So they should have the ability on the fly, you meet someone on the road or whatever, add them in, first name, last name, email. Easy peasy. That's one way that should be there. Yeah. Most of them should have that.
A lot of them have mobile apps. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Plug it in. Yeah.
The second way should be via import. So a lot of you have data in Excel or in Outlook, like your Outlook contacts or whatever.
Yeah.
All of those should be importable. And what I mean by that is you could take that Excel file, drag it into this tool, and it'll say, okay, in this file, I see a column for first name, a column for last name, a column for email. What does that mean in my system, in MailChimp, for example? And so you should have a way of easily bringing that data in.
Yeah, MailChimp. Let's just use it because that's the one everyone knows, I think. Right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about a couple of different options. But
they're kind of like from our calendaring episode. They're the Calendly. They're the Cadillac of email marketing.
They're the first mover, right?
What did they sell for to Intuit recently? Like many billions.
Billions.
Yeah. And it was funny because I think you told me this. Their founders were very renowned for being bootstrapped and never going to sell.
Yeah, it was
and,
a point of pride.
And then Intuit came over with a couple bill. And I mean, all those pins of those Ferraris and nice houses that you had in your app become reality. So anyways, long story short, there should be a way to manually enter on mobile or web. Import,
usually Excel sheet or something. Yeah,
usually Excel. The third should be integrations. So what that means is maybe integrate with your CRM, for example.
Yeah.
So if you have all your data in your CRM, you shouldn't have to import all the time. Not only is it like a potential liability thing, if someone unsubscribes, you don't know about it in your CRM, but it's also just a pain in the ass, or a pain, I should say, to import data all the time. But it doesn't have to be your CRM, like website.
It doesn't have to be your CRM. It could be, like your inbox. And a lot of them have what's called like the OAuth 2. Process, which is what more and more are going towards. You know, it used to be API, and we still use API keys a lot ourselves, but a lot of more of these modern type softwares are doing is like the OAuth, which is, you know, when you log in, it's like log in with Google. It's kind of like that, where you click, you know, a little screen pops up and it asks you to log in. Maybe it is Google because it's your Gmail contacts, or maybe it's your CRM. You type in your credentials, and it's like, okay, we're now integrated, right? So those are happening a lot more and more, and it's just, it makes it a lot easier, right? And so, yeah, I would say the integration, that's kind of the holy grail, and it is getting easier and easier. And then the other one I would say too is the content side of things. You know, this is honestly, I think, where people get tripped up maybe a little bit more, because the data, I think it is getting easier, but the content's still that hill to climb, right? There's no amount of technology that's going to, well, I'm going to eat my words because ChatGPT's kind of putting that on its head a little bit.
Yeah, listen to 2 weeks ago episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I caught myself there, but there's still that effort of doing it. And so, you know, content. So without going down that rabbit hole, because we can, you know, the content is a big one. So it's about, okay, what kind of platforms out there? And we'll talk about a couple that actually are going to provide that content for, or at least help you in a more specific way than just, hey, a tool that can, you know, spin up something for you like a ChatGPT. So the content is important. There are ones out there that will give you that content out of the box. So we'll focus there. And I guess, you know, friction aside though, is there really anything else that I think is, you know, important for these things? I can think of, you know, price. People care about price. And I mean, in other episodes we talk about, that's honestly, you can Google that, right? We're not going to waste too much time talking about price. We'll just kind of maybe in the episode say high price, low price, you know, but we won't give you the super specifics.
Most of them price the same way too, I think, like by subscriber or something.
Yeah. I can think of one other thing. I don't know. It would only ever be deliverability maybe would be the other thing to think about, I think, with these. types of things. Am I missing anything?
Yeah, that's obviously a big one. I mean, the only other one is just like, depending on how advanced you are with the system, like a lot of brokers we work with just want to send out a once a month thing or a once a year thing. And some of these systems only do that. But others actually allow you to create like drips and sequences that you build once, right, kind of like an onboarding flow. Or let's say you close a mortgage client, you want to email them over 5 months or whatever. So, I mean, automations and workflows.
Yeah, the workflows, I would say it's like
icing on the cake type.
Yeah,
thing.
Like that's maybe a good way to do it. Like, I think like you want to evaluate these things based on the cake, and especially for, you know, I talk about these 95, 15, we'll stick with those numbers. You know, if you're in the 15 of people who are already using it and doing it, okay, maybe actually that's the time. Yeah, you know what, I'm going to start caring about these more advanced things. But if you're, again, in the 80% of people out there who just need to get started, you know, you could get bogged down pretty quickly, right, in these types of things, these more advanced things, and they're shiny objects and they almost distract you, right? So, you know, it's important to know about them. But our advice, I think, especially if you're in that 80, is, okay, that should be in your criteria weighted the lowest. Because, you know, what you really need is just to get in front of your clients. It doesn't have to be fancy. It's just about actually just doing it and getting out there. And so
taking it back to deliverability, maybe you can explain that. Like, what does that really mean? Like, I think most people assume when you use one of these tools, it gets in the inbox. But
yeah, I mean, like the name suggests, it's, you know, deliverability. Okay, how well does it deliver? And I mean, I think, yeah, most people assume it goes in, but also I don't think people need to think too much. Like the most common way it doesn't go in is your spam filter. Anyone who spent any time in their inbox and has opened the spam filter and seen all the junk in there, I know for me personally, I think most people, unless you're expecting an email, I'm not even looking at that spam. I just go in, big, check the box that says every single email, I'll just hit delete, right? And so this idea of deliverability is, okay, how is it actually getting in to your inbox? And I think that's important. And, you know, there are ways you can control it. You can do what's called like SPF or DKIM mappings. You can actually, it depends on the content of the newsletter. If you do a lot of pictures, that actually catches spam filters. Again, that's going to be the same across every single one of these platforms. The bigger thing I would say is that, yeah, each actually platform has servers, and those servers actually affect, without going into the technical details, because honestly, I don't know if I could go that deep into it.
I was going to say, I don't know how to explain it.
Not to save the viewer, just by our own ignorance, but you know, we do know pretty conclusively, just from anecdotal, but even our own experience, it does depend on the platform, not just the content of the email, not just the setup, but the platform itself does matter.
Yeah. It's something to do, like you said, with servers and whitelisting of domains and stuff that's over our head, but you should definitely check this out when you're searching. And we're not talking about, okay, you send out 100 emails and 99 deliver versus 98 between two systems.
Yeah.
Like there are some systems out there that will only deliver 75 versus 99.
Yeah, like 25 will go in the spam inbox.
It can
like,
really affect, especially as you get into the hundreds or thousands of email recipients. So like Tom said, this is more of the cake where it's like ease of use, ease of adoption, integration, stuff like that. But also the deliverability is massive.
Because it's also demoralizing too, right? Okay, I go through all the, I've uploaded my contacts, I've, you know, done this, that, I've made a beautiful template, and then no one gets it, right? And that's the other thing, more of, I guess, I think a bell and a whistle of reporting, right? A lot of these software say, okay, you've sent 100 emails. How many were opened? How many were bounced, right? Bad inbox, some can track the clicks, and that's cool, and that's good. But what I'm saying is demoralized. If you look at one of those reports, it's like, no one's even opening it. What's going on? And it could be the deliverability. So, you know, that is the cake, not the icing of you want something that's going to get there, right? And you want it to be read by your list. So I think that's a pretty good list. So let's get right into, you know, what we see people using and right into it. And so the first thing I see, and honestly for this one, I was about to, I don't know, for lack of a better, crap on it a bit because it seems so basic. And, you know, I kind of roll my eyes a bit when I see people doing it, but I decided not to because it's still better than nothing. I mean, I think for, again, these people in the 80, it could be the quick win. And we'll talk about some of the drawbacks and why I kind of went there in the first place. But what I'm getting at is just using your inbox and doing a BCC blast, right? So getting a list of clients, putting them in there, writing something up, everyone in that BCC column. And you want to do that so that, you know, privacy basically of your client, but writing something up right within your email and hitting send. And so why is that the easiest thing? Well, I think, you know, when we talk about friction and integrating and uploading clients and creating content, by doing it in your inbox, it's kind of a lot of that stuff's handled for you, right? It's all right there. You don't have to learn a new system. You know, the deliverability is going to be really, really good because That's how you've been sending emails for so long. And, you know, it's very, very, very quick to adopt. And at the very least, it can give you some feedback on, hey, how well is this working? How many people responded? What kind of content did people actually like? And that can inform you, you know, okay, do I want to keep doing this? And if I keep doing it, okay, what's actually important to me? What do I want to care about? It's a really, really, I think, good first step in. So, yeah, I mean, do you agree, Matt? Or were you going to crap on this one too a bit?
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw this too. But I mean, I get them.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, me and you both get them. Maybe it's not Gmail. Maybe it's Outlook, Yahoo. I always bring them up for some reason. But the downside, I mean, there's a bunch of downsides. But probably the biggest one that comes to my mind is just like, typically in these softwares, there's a way to say, stop emailing me, an unsubscribe button.
Yeah.
And that doesn't occur, as far as I know, when you do it from your inbox.
No.
I mean, I think some people write at the bottom, please reply and tell me to stop if you want me to stop. So, I mean, here in Canada, anyways, not really cool to do it that way if you're complying with Castle and all that fun stuff. But it is quick and dirty. Yeah, probably the other downside, unless someone's figured it out, I was going to say merge tags, but
that's a good one. That's a huge one.
I don't even know if people know what that means, but
I wasn't even thinking of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a lot of emails, you want to personalize them a little bit, like say, hi, Tom, your mortgage with TD,
Scotia, and then Media Trust, whatever. Yeah.
With Massimo, it would say, hi, Massimo, right? So you personalize it. A lot of these tools have that feature. They're called merge tags. It basically, you put a tag in the email, you tell the system, okay, merge in the first name of this person. With the Gmail or the Outlook, you'll notice those ones because it'll say hi there or just hi.
Hi, you.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, champ.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's some extension that I don't know about that does it, but I don't think there is. So it's A, not personalized, B, not compliant with regulation, and I guess more importantly, it can be annoying for clients where they're like, I can't unsubscribe from this, so they might hit me next week too.
Yeah.
And you want that control, right? I think.
Yeah, and so what they might do instead is just block your email, right? So
And
then next time when it's actually that you need to get in touch with them, they're not responding. And the other one with this, let's not go too far down the nave road, is I heard this last week. I didn't actually realize this. You're limited to about 100
people. Oh.
So, okay, then I'm doing 5 BCCs, and this might have been just been Gmails. I have 500 people. Yeah, so, you know, I think that there are those drawbacks. I don't want to spend too much time on that. But like I said at the beginning, I put it in here because I think it's a good first step. It's like, you know, something's better than nothing. And we see so many people get so wrapped up and they spend weeks and weeks and weeks doing research on all these different tools that we're about to get into. And then they just end up doing nothing. So if you feel that there might be danger for you in that, you tend to overanalyze, you know, analysis paralysis, just do this. Just get it out there and see if it works. And at the very least, hopefully, gives you that jolt to say, hey, this email marketing thing actually works. Let me reinvigorate and double down on my research and maybe some other tools. So that's that one there. Other ones I see people using, I mean, there's also just kind of your brokerages auto emails. So some brokerages do this, some don't. And like all these, actually, there's pros and cons with it. You know, they'll auto send it out and just get it to your clients. And, you know, some brokerages will do this, some won't. Some will charge for it, some won't. It really completely depends. But where it really excels, where this one probably gets the top marks on, is that friction, right? Because for a lot of these brokerages, you know, they are integrated with your FileLogic, so they have your data because they, of course, do your payroll and your compliance and sort of things. So the data's already there. You're not going to have to do anything. The content, usually pre-created, right? Saying, hey, do you know what? This month is Mortgage Awareness Month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So the friction's pretty low, right? It's probably the lowest, right? And I think that's why quite a few people opt in for that. And I think, you know, again, depending on who you are, maybe that's the top criteria. Maybe that's the only criteria is friction. And so it's great for you. So yeah, I think it's good for that. And I guess, again, the benefits are there. I keep making you the bad guy, Mass. Maybe I'll do the bad ones next time. But what would you say are some drawbacks with that?
The first one that comes to mind is like, you have no control over it.
Right.
Basically, they, as in your brokerage or your network, are building templates. They're typically pretty boilerplate.
Oh, they have to be, right? Because they're doing it for, could be hundreds, if not thousands of agents, right? It has to be like,
it's pretty general, pretty high level.
Yeah.
So if you're the type of broker that prides yourself on certain type of communication or a certain geography or a certain niche or whatever, let's say you focus on rental properties or you focus on the Northern Canada or something.
Rental properties in Hamilton.
Yeah. You're not hitting your target audience with these emails. So they're not customizable, but something is better than nothing. And it is very hands-off. If you listen to our like outsource certain work podcast, I don't know what it was actually called that episode. But maybe this is something where you say, listen, I know what's going out. I'm okay with it. I'm going to let someone else do it. It's not a priority for me right now.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest downside, not customizable. So it might come off a little weird to your clients if you're niche down. I don't know if you have any other ones.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that is a big one. And, you know, it completely depends, like all these things, on how important these email marketing emails are for you and the personalization of it. But the other big one I would say is also just, I guess, control in terms of your own, I use the word sovereignty, right? And you never know what's going to happen in your career. You know, a couple of years go by, maybe the brokerage changes the nature they're offering. It just doesn't make sense for you anymore. And okay, I'm switching brokerages. And then that happens. And without making comments on the brokerage, you know, now you're stuck. I was like, oh, wait, that newsletter thing. And now all my clients are maybe used to that.
Yeah.
I have to go and I have to redo this. And oh, it's going to be a whole thing. And so, you know, in a way, it's almost makes you not move. And then you're not doing the best thing for your career. So just something to keep in mind, that sovereignty piece of it. We've talked about that a bunch.
So another one that we wanted to chat about, we mentioned it earlier, is MailChimp. So they are the Cadillac of email marketing softwares. I think they were one of the first to actually do it right.
Yeah.
So they've been around, I remember them like at least 10 years ago, they were still kicking and now they're living life. So number one, benefit. Deliverability is the highest that I know of.
Yeah, it's going to be the top. Of all these things that we're going to talk about, yeah, it's by far the best. Yeah.
Deliverability is huge. Customizability of templates, like they have all kinds of pre-canned content for you. You are still probably going to have to tweak it. They have all kinds of templates, and because their deliverability is so high, they test this stuff to make sure it's going to comply with spam filters and all that stuff. So you can almost just like trust that the email will get there, and you can make a very nice email within minutes. They also integrate with just about everyone out there, including like Canva,
yeah,
which is like a big like Photoshop competitor. I don't even know what you call it.
Visual design.
Yeah, visual design.
Yeah.
So they integrate with most things. They're very high on the deliverability. They also have some of that icing on the cake, the workflows and all that. But
yeah,
deliverability is probably the biggest one. And there's actually one in our industry, in the mortgage industry in Canada, VIP Club.
They're built on MailChimp. Yeah.
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 Underneath, MailChimp runs them. So if you're ever thinking of that group, all those benefits also apply to VIP Club. They've kind of like bridged the gap a little bit.
Yeah. And what they do on top of MailChimp is it's the content.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, maybe the downside of MailChimp would be, okay, you got to go and actually make that content.
Yeah.
VIP bridges that gap. And they have pretty good content too. I think they do contests. That's a big thing of what they do. And they give away gift cards and it's all really well organized. And we hear a lot of good feedback, a lot of good engagement with clients with it too. So I guess then what are the downsides of this? It's, upfront, right? So getting your data in there and doing that and making the content, that's definitely it. VIP Club helps with that. But then with VIP Club and MailChimp, then it becomes a little bit about cost. We said we wouldn't talk too much about cost. And yeah, I don't think, you know, if it is the right solution for you, it's going to, you know, get a return on that investment, no problem at all. I'm certain of it. You know, you send out one newsletter and you close one deal and it pays for MailChimp for like 18 years for something crazy, right? So from an ROI perspective, it's there. But from a pure cost perspective, if that's like your number one, if you've, I don't know, just started the business and you're on your last few months of cash, right? And it's a slow market, you know, whatever the scenario, if, you know, price and cost is your true number one criteria, then that's the one to think maybe twice about.
Agreed.
All right, let's bring it home. I'm sure people who know us, the fact that we're CRM guys have been waiting for. And yeah, so it's your CRM. We won't be specific with CRMs, but there's, you know, Blue Mortgage, of course, what we know really well. But even, you know, Salesforce, I think HubSpot has these types of things. But in any case, so, you know, the system that you're actually using to manage your clients in your day-to-day and write notes and tasks and do all the CRM things that, you know, we can, you know, actually send you newsletters right from there. So I'll let you do the pros and I'll come in with the cons. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, usually on the pro side, the data is already there. I think Tom just said that. So the data is already there. You don't have to worry about getting it from elsewhere. Everything you need is in there.
The other big pro is, we talked about this earlier with the Gmails, the merge tags. So, you know, for MailChimp, you can do hi, first name, you can do that. And usually your brokerage's CRM will do that. Hey, hi, first name. But with the CRM, you get super specific, which is really cool, right? So you can say, hi, Tom, your mortgage with TD that was a fixed rate mortgage at a rate of 5, you know, like you can customize it and make it so specific and personalized that really hits home, right? I mean, I think that's the other thing we talked about, these spam filters. People will just ignore spam. And people are getting really good at ignoring, hey, this hit my inbox, but people are getting really good at knowing what those generic ones. The more you can personalize it, use those merge tags, get really smart, it goes a really long way. And the CRM is great at that because it's just loaded with data, right? There's so much in there, especially if you do integrate with your deal submission platform, you're just going to have just a treasure trove of info that you can really kind of make this specific and intentional to your target audience. All right, now you can do your cons.
The first con that comes to mind, and maybe this isn't CRM-wide, but I wager I'm 90% correct on this, where like the deliverability typically isn't as high.
Yeah, a little bit less. Yeah, like a MailChimp.
Yeah, and the reason, as far as I know, is these tools are more made for kind of transactional emails, meaning like you move a mortgage from stage A to B, one email goes out. And I think there is something on servers when you set them up. That's why Gmail blocks you from sending more than 100 probably at a time. Like you have to have a different server structure to do these mass blasts, I think. And I'm pretty confident on it. And so basically, you're probably, for a good CRM, looking in the 80 to 85 deliverability versus 99 in MailChimp, from what I've seen. So that's definitely a downside, just mostly because you're not really doing what it was meant to do. But we use it all the time for that stuff. And for little blasts, like we do a lot of targeted stuff, like, okay, all the people that bought our product within this time frame and are in this province, let's send them a webinar.
That's another good, but
maybe that's a benefit.
In terms of the benefit, right?
So that's the first con I can think of, but
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I mean, from the benefit perspective, we do a demo sometimes to people and their eyes just light up when we say, okay, now go in and say, hey, show me all my, you know, fixed rate clients. And they closed 4 years ago. So maybe the penalty won't be so large. Yes, they are on the fixed rate and they were with TD because I know I can switch them off TD really easily. And boom, okay, there's a list of, okay, you had 100 people that you closed recently and it goes down to the 8. And now you can be super specific and say, hey, Bobby, you're a TD, you got a fixed rate, you only got a year left. You know, there's this program where we can switch you over and you can do that very easily, right? And so if you do want to get super targeted, which I think is more and more important, especially as things become more generic and it does get easier to write things like with ChatGPT, we talked about that at the beginning, that personalization aspect is going to be huge. The only other downside I was going to say is just the limit. We talk about 100 in Gmail and it's usually about 1,000 we see in CRM. So
it
just depends on your list. Most people are okay with that. Most brokers we chat with. But I was a guy yesterday, so he had 25,000 people on his list. I've never heard of that big. So if you're in that, I'd say, hey, do you know what? Maybe it's time to, you know, look at a MailChimp or something like that. So this is one of our longer ones, but I think we covered quite a bit, which, you know, hopefully the audience really liked. I guess just closing remarks, Mass, anything you'd want to leave people with?
I would say, and maybe I've said this before, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but start slow with this stuff. Don't jump in. And honestly, if you jump in and try to do MailChimp, most people are going to be overwhelmed. I feel weird saying do the Gmail one. If you don't have a CRM, do the Gmail one. Just kind of start slow. Get some campaigns going out to clients. You will immediately see feedback. You will immediately get business. Maybe not a lot, but you'll get something. Yeah. And then you'll get some momentum.
And you'll get momentum, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just make a point too of, hey, if you're building a kingdom, which is your business, this is what we heard from a business mentor. Don't build your castle on someone else's land. And so if this is something you're going to invest in, own it top to bottom, right? Make it yours and really own it. So yeah, with that, we'll let the audience go. This is, hopefully been useful. If you do have comments, questions, anything like that on this stuff, we could go on and on. This was half an hour, probably could have gone for 3 hours because it's a big one we talk about a lot. So maybe we'll do a follow-up episode, who knows, but really appreciate everyone's time and attention. Bye for now.